He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the front page of the sports section. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, a fine Tuesday to you. How are you, sir?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing good. How are you?
All righty. Let's start with some basics. We hear the players, the coaches, and analysts. We watch games. We absorb the action. There is losing a game, then getting blown out, then experience one of the worst beatdowns ever. So think of Saturday afternoon pre-kickoff. What did you expect heading into Washington, and what's your level of surprise, if any, it devolved into that car wreck?
Well, I can say that that's what I expected, but I also can't say that I was shocked by it. My opinion about that game sort of evolved throughout the week. Right on the heels of the Washington State game, I told somebody, I think I was kind of worked up from the game, and I said, you know what, I'm going to pick Washington 56-7 next week. And then as time went on and cooler heads prevailed, I started to think, well, you know, it's Washington at home. It sort of feels like Oregon's last stand. Maybe they'll get a spark from Herbert starting. I kind of think, you know, the Ducks will pull it together and at least make Washington work for it a little bit. Obviously, that's not how it went. I should have stuck with 56-7. That would have been a lot closer than what I settled on. I really did think that was kind of Oregon's season right there, that, you know, what do you got? You're playing at home against your biggest rival. Can you pull it together and put together a decent performance? Obviously, they couldn't. I wasn't shocked by it, but I did hope for more from Oregon, for sure.
Well, I could hearken back to the mid-70s when I went to Schuyler Colfax Junior High and was highly touted as a math student. You should have 49 points is what the margin of victory actually was, and that was initially, so that would have been unbelievable. Actually, Friday, you wrote Chris Peterson, right higher for the Huskies. And he's a guy that took over a 9-win team, then went 8-7, but hopes were high this year. And we know about the weak non-conference, the fact they needed overtime at Arizona. Then they play Oregon and Stanford, and they win by a combined total of 114-27. I look at a team that has minimal flaws. I mean, how good do you think this Husky team is?
I think they're really good. I think they're really, really good. And I do owe maybe a little apology to all of those in the preseason who were really high on Washington, because I was the idiot who was saying, are we sure about this? Do we need to put the brakes on the hype train a little bit? You know, Oregon's beaten Washington 12 straight times. Huskies won 7 games last year. Can we slow down a little bit on calling them the favorite in the Pac-12 North? But all those people who picked Washington, I have to say, they were dead right. You know, it's easy to criticize the pundits and say, oh, you know, the people who make those preseason predictions never get it right. But in this case, they absolutely nailed it, because watching Washington and Oregon Saturday, the contrast between the two programs could not have been more clear. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that now Washington's going to win the next 12 against the Ducks, but looking at this series right now, clearly Washington has the upper hand. I think the Huskies are absolutely a legitimate playoff contender. Can they get through the Pac-12 schedule unbeaten? No. The Apple Cup could be a tough game for them, I guess, but I certainly can see that Washington team in the playoffs.
It could be the Apple Cup for the North. Who knows? Continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Coaches have different demeanors. Some are fiery. Some are kind of calm. After the game, you wrote Steve Greatwood clearly just pissed. Coach Helf kind of stayed in character from his talk with Jorgie when he addressed the media. So while it might not be his usual M.O., I think safe to insinuate, man, that if there was ever a time to throw something through a chalkboard, that might have been it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was looking for after that game, is where's the fire? Where's the anger? Where's the passion? Who's going to stand up and say, all right, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, that's what people wanted to hear after that game. You heard it from Steve Greatwood, and you heard it from Cameron Hunt, but you didn't really hear it from Mark Helfrich. And you know, I get that that's not his personality. He's not a screamer. He's not a guy who's going to go ballistic on the sideline. And I think for the most part, that's an admirable quality. But if you look at the coaches in college football who are successful, from Nick Saban to Urban Meyer to Dabo Sweeney, I mean, those guys aren't afraid to light somebody up if it needs to happen to get their team's attention. And it just seems like sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect with Mark Helfrich. You know, he's so even-keeled, which is a good quality a lot of the time, but there's also a time and a place to show some fire and some emotion. And I don't know what he was like behind closed doors. Maybe he absolutely lit up the team in the locker room, but certainly publicly, he always sort of maintains the same demeanor. And this is a case where I think fans, at least, would like to see a little bit of fire and, you know, like to know that the coach is feeling the same things they are and is upset about this and has a really burning passion to get this turned around.
By the way, nice Howard Beal reference from Network, which I
you get
I,
that?
Yeah. It came out before you were born. That's Best Picture, 1976. Just the little movie geek in me.
No, encyclopedic knowledge there, 70s cinema.
All right. So during the game, after the game, on Twitter, we heard from Braylon Addison and Nick Cody, Kenyon Barner. They tore into the players. Brendan Schooler, a freshman, is talking, some guys don't care. To me, that's really troubling. You mentioned Cam Hunt, one of the seniors. You were there around the guys. I mean, what was that sentiment and how widely shared was it? About the level of ticked off that he was?
Well, I'm with you. I think that's a real troubling sign when you have players coming out and saying that there are guys on the team who don't care if they win or lose. And to hear Cameron Hunt say that it could be as much as 40% of the team that falls in that category, whew, that's concerning to hear that. And you know, I think Mark Helfrich tried to downplay it a little bit and say, well, you know, in the heat of the moment, maybe some guys who are really passionate don't see other guys going about it exactly like they are and feel the need to speak up about it. But if I'm Mark Helfrich, I want to look everybody in that locker room in the eye and make sure that everybody is bought in. And if guys aren't, I thought one of the parts of that Cameron Hunt quote that maybe didn't get as much attention but is, you know, equally noteworthy is he said, you know, if you're the coach, you need to figure out who wants to be on this team and who doesn't and who wants to play, and the guys who don't want to play can leave. And it's kind of a subtle, you know, it's a subtle message to the coach, too. You got the player directing that to the coach saying, hey, coach, you got some guys on the team that don't want to be here, and you need to figure out who they are, suggesting that maybe, you know, the coaches have not seen what's going on here or not been as demanding as they need to be. So, I'm sure it was partly heat of the moment, a player who was frustrated by, obviously, a very, very disappointing outcome. But I think it points to some issues that definitely are troubling.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been here 26 years, never heard anything close to this. I think a lot of people now, you know, talking about the coaching change, I'll go on record saying, A, it's not going to happen right now. It's not Oregon. But we also have our don't think it can't get worse file. Rob Mullins gave the public vote of confidence. So if this, in fact, gets out of control and they lose out or end up 3-9 and aren't competitive, how realistic do you think it is not only that a change could be made at the top, but a staff house cleaning?
Well, I think there are a few different scenarios of how this could play out. Oregon goes 6-0 the rest of the way. Mark Helfrich didn't get him fired. He's coming back if they go 6-0. They go 0-6 the rest of the way. I think everybody's probably gone. I don't see how you I don't see how you keep the coaching staff after a 2-10 season. I'm guessing something in the middle is the most likely scenario. And I think the measuring stick now is, can Oregon get to 6 wins and get to a bowl game? And if they don't do that, then I think it's at least a serious conversation of what happens with Mark Helfrich. I don't think Rob Mullins really tipped his hand much in coming out on the basically the in-house radio program that UI Athletic Department produces. He acknowledged the frustration of the fans, and he didn't necessarily come out and say, hey, Mark Helfrich is our coach today, tomorrow, and for the future. He didn't say that. He made it seem like he's going to be evaluating these next 6 games, as he should. But he played it pretty close to the middle. I don't think you could really read a whole lot into what he said, other than he's going to be watching these next 6 games just like everybody else is.
All right, let's try and get out of Duck football with maybe more of a bright light. The true freshman was in there. Clearly they were listening to you. And to me, sometimes with a true freshman, does he look like he fits? Does he offer a glimpse? Is he a reason for hope? I thought the kid looked like he was a Pac-12 player. What'd you think?
I thought the same. I think Justin Herbert belongs at this level, and I think it makes sense to play him. You know, it's kind of how I felt about it going in. I don't know that starting Justin Herbert is going to be the solution. I mean, obviously it wasn't. He lost by 50 points. It's not like the freshman quarterback was going to be the difference in that game. So it's all about how can you develop this guy and where is the arrow pointing for the future? And I saw enough from Justin Herbert in that game to feel like, okay, he's got to play the rest of the season. You know, you got to approach it with him like, hey, you know, it can't get any tougher than this. I mean, you're facing one of the best teams in the country. Your first pass gets intercepted. Where do you go from there? Only up, and nowhere to go but up. So that's, if I'm the coach, that's what I'm telling Justin Herbert is, hey, you took your lumps. You bounced back. You hung in there till the end of the game. You made some plays. Now let's take this. Let's grow from it and see what you can do the rest of the year.
All right. Last week we talked about the MLB playoffs, which were about to begin. 2 amazing wild card games. The Red Sox are out already. Giants, Cubs last night. Just such an emotional game. Taking the lead, losing the lead, saving the season. We're still in round one. As a true baseball fan, just from last night, did you have a rooting interest or were you just like, man, this is just awesome?
It really took me back to the last couple years as a Royals fan and reminded me of what that feeling was like when it's your team that's in that situation. I mean, I was, you know, my palms were getting a little sweaty last night. I didn't even care who won. I was just sitting there as totally unbiased observer, and I still felt my heart rate going up a little bit because I remember the Royals being in so many of those games last couple years, and it just reminded me of how fun and how stressful postseason baseball is when it's your team. I dealt with it pretty well, the Royals not being in the playoffs. I'd kind of moved on from it. But then watching that game last night, it brought it all back to me. Like, man, it's really a lot of fun when you have a team in the tournament at this stage. But it's also so stressful because, your whole season coming down to one pitch or one inning, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, that was just a lot of fun. And like I said, it's just getting started. Austin Meek, the Register Guard, registerguard.com, on Twitter, @AustinMeekRG. Well, enjoy the bye week and playoffs and all the fun stuff we get to do. And it's always a pleasure to have you to start the Tuesday show. Thanks a lot, Austin.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk next week.
You got it.